Blessed is the man, let's all read it together, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 1. It teaches us how to live according to your word. We pray, Father, you fill us with your Holy Spirit and prepare us as we hear your word and see how we can apply it to our lives. May we come from here changed and live the way you want us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in this psalm, we see a contrast between two types of people. So Psalm 1 talks about the ungodly and the godly. And specifically in Psalm 1, we see a contrast in what they do and what they don't do. So we're going to look carefully at what it says, what it means, and try to flesh out what God is saying in his word. So it starts off with, let's go to the next slide here. It says, blessed is the man, I'm going to say, or woman, who. The word, the Hebrew word for blessed is esher, which means happiness, blessedness. The same word is used in Psalm 32, verse 1, where it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How many have ever felt when you've just unloaded a burden, you've confessed something, and you feel so free and happy? How many have felt that? That's the kind of happiness we're talking about. Just blessed. You feel like light on your feet. Okay? The same word is used in Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man who trusts in him. So those who have tasted of God truly know the happiness of knowing God. How many would say you've tasted God? You've tasted and seen the Lord is good. Amen? And that's the thing. If you haven't tasted, you need to start tasting how good the Lord is. He is good. And that's going to create in you blessedness, happiness, and joy. Amen? The next thing, it says, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I have a little picture here. This is a movie called Pilgrim's Progress. It was a book by John Bunyan. Actually, one of the most famous Christian books ever made. Second to the Bible in terms of its readership. And a wonderful story of how Pilgrim becomes Christian. And he faces all kinds of challenges. But one of the first obstacle he found was this man called Worldly Wise Man. And Worldly Wise Man had a lot of advice for this young pilgrim. But the Bible says the godly do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes we think of sometimes TV shows, sometimes teachers in a school. I'm going to talk a lot to the young people here because you're here in the service with us. We find that we are surrounded by advice from ungodly sources. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? You're driving in the car, you put on, and you hear someone talking on the maybe talk radio. And you're like, okay, that perspective, does that perspective line up with God's word? How many know that often it doesn't? Right? Okay? Now, that's the counsel of the ungodly. And the point I want to make here is that the godly don't follow the advice of ungodly sources. You can hear it, you can be exposed to it, you listen to it, but we don't follow it. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen? Let's go to the next slide here. So the first point is don't follow the advice of ungodly. The second point is they don't stand in the path of sinners. Now, this is I want to talk about the path of the sinners. Now, the sinners, Bible talks about a way that they have, a path. But I believe it's a temporary way. It's not a lasting road. It's a shifty road. It's a road that is walked on, and then it shifts, it changes. In the book of the Pilgrim's Progress, we have Christian now comes into a place called Vanity Fair. He leaves the house of worldly wise men. He escapes it. The pilgrim comes to the cross, becomes Christian, and now Christian and faithful now join path together, and they walk to Vanity Fair. And Vanity Fair is full of all the distractions and temptations of the world. But they kept faithful to Christ as they walked through Vanity Fair. They had a lot of people wanting them to join their path. Come on, join our path. And they said, no, we're walking God's path. For instance, the current trends in society. Where do the polls go? We know the polls go up and down on many different issues. But God's word stays the same day in and day out. It doesn't change. But the trends in society change. We don't stand in the path of sinners. We don't follow along with them in the way they're walking. Amen? Amen. So we find with the media, they give us advice, and then they have a path. They're like, come on this path. If you don't come in this path, you are out. You're an outcast. You are not part of mainstream society. But you know what? Jesus has called us on a narrow road. It's not a popular road. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there go by it. But narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus has called us to go on a narrow road of discipleship. It's not a broad road. It's not going to be popular. You're not going to get a lot of high fives at school when you say, you know what, I just have my quiet time with Jesus. Yeah, awesome. You know, they're not going to give you a high five, okay? You're walking sometimes it's a lonely road as a disciple. I was saying to Heather, you know, it's sad even to see the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. He had done ministry, reached thousands for Jesus Christ, and there he is in Rome writing the book of 2 Timothy all alone. Only Luke was with him. Everyone else had deserted him. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he was alone. Abandoned, it seemed, but not by God. And not by faithful Luke, who stood with him. I want to challenge you to walk a narrow road as Jesus has called us to. Amen? Look at the next picture here. We see the path of the sinner is like the wake of a boat. It just lasts for a short time. When a boat goes by, it just leaves a wake and then disappears. And that's the path of sinners. It doesn't last. It's fleeting. It's temporary. Only lasts a short time and then it's gone. God wants us to follow the righteous path. Let's see. I'm going to show you this. Another picture. This is a Roman road. This is 2,000 years old. Those Romans, they knew how to build roads. Okay? And the way they built it was, let's go to the next slide here. They had lots of different layers. Start off with a compacted sand, crushed rock, gravel, sand, gravel, and cement, and then the large stone slabs. They built it well. And their path lasted for 2,000 years. Now, when you look at roads today, you look at a 2,000-year-old Roman road and a 2-year-old modern road, we can see that our current ways of building is temporary. Our society builds temporary paths that are not lasting. How many of you want to go on God's eternal path? Amen? Unchanging, fixed, solid. Amen? Okay, now we're going to the next part here. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The third point I want to make is don't be wise in your own eyes. Or even watching people be wise in their own eyes and sit and mock the righteous, the commands of God's word or God himself. The seat of the scornful is reserved for the people who are critical of God and of his commands and ridicule and mock the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the seat of the scornful. You can see this a lot in our media. In our talk shows, I'm going to show you some examples. Let's go to the next slide here. I'm going to show you the progression. So the Bible said the blessed man does not, number one, walk in the counsel of the wicked. So you're not following the advice of the wicked. You're not standing in the path of sinners doing what they're doing. And you're also not sitting in the seat of scoffers, the people that are mocking God and his word. The godly man or woman is not going that way. Let me give you some examples from our society. This is, I believe at the Golden Globes of 2014. This is a selfie with Ellen DeGeneres. Some of these stars, they are very influential in our society, and they have, they influence us. We see their movies. We see their talk shows. Let's just look at some of the quotes of some of these famous people. This is Brad Pitt. He said, I didn't understand this idea of a God who says, you have to acknowledge me. You have to say that I'm the best and then I'll give you eternal happiness. If you won't, then you don't get it. It seemed to me about ego. I can't see God operating from ego. It made no sense to me. Brad Pitt is not a follower of Jesus. This is Matt Groening. He is the creator of The Simpsons. I was very disturbed when Jesus found a demon in the guy and put the demon in a herd of pigs and then sent them off a cliff. What did the pigs do? I could never figure that out. It just seemed very unchristian. Technically, I'm an agnostic, but I definitely believe in hell, especially after watching the fall TV schedule. Okay. So, you know, The Simpsons, as funny as it is, the creator, Matt Groening, doesn't believe in God. He is a scoffer. Now, do you guys know the name of the character who's a Christian in The Simpsons? What's his name? The Christian that's the next-door neighbor of Bart Simpson? Ned Flanders, right? So Ned Flanders is this, you know, strong guy who's always reading the Bible, always, like, trying to be a man of God. And it kind of makes fun. It really does make fun of Ned Flanders, the Christian man. Does it not? It does. Okay, so what is that doing when we see this? It influences our mind. They're sitting in the seat of the scoffers, and we're actually sitting as we watch it too. This is Bill Maher, a very arrogant man, I would say. He says, religion is just the ultimate hustle. Why can't God just defeat the devil? It's the same reason a comic book character can't defeat his nemesis. Then there's no story. If God gets rid of the devil, and he could, it's because he's all-powerful. Well, there's no fear, no reason to come to church. So if we listen to Bill Maher, maybe on, let's say, a talk show, that's what we're listening to. We're sitting in the seat of the scornful. This man is a scornful person of God and of his commands and his ways. Let's go to the next one. This is Stephen Colbert, late-night talk show host. He says, take away the Big Bang, and what has God done? Burned a bush and got a girl pregnant. Great, he's a high school junior. Okay. He's a funny man, but you know what? He's touched on God. He's made a mockery of the Christian faith. So is that someone that you and I should give our ears to? Should we sit in the seat of the scornful like Stephen Colbert? Another one, Seinfeld. A very influential program because it lasted for, I believe, a decade and influenced a whole generation of people. It has a episode of, I guess his name is Putty. He's a Christian, and it kind of makes fun of him as being intolerant, has sex outside of marriage, shows this guy Putty as being this Christian guy. So it shows Christianity definitely in a very negative light and in a mocking way as well. Now go to the next one here. Friends. Okay. It had many times, I believe there's an episode with Ross and trying to convince Phoebe of evolution, that evolution happened, ridiculing her for questioning the evolutionary dogma. Or you have another character that always says, OMG. I don't know if you guys remember seeing that, but she says it constantly in the show. Now, am I telling you that this is pure Satan and everything? No, but I want to tell you, we need to be discerning of the content of what we watch and what we let our children watch. Are the writers of Friends and Seinfeld, are they people of faith? I don't think they are. I think they are scoffers. I think that it comes through in their creations. Let's see something more recent. Family Guy. Okay. It even goes as far as to have Jesus in the show and actually beating him up, mocking him. So I challenge you, young people, if you're watching this, think, am I sitting in the seat of the scoffer as I'm watching this and laughing at, you know, episodes where Jesus Christ is there and actually being beaten up? That's horrible. But you see, we are in our media being influenced by this. Let's go to the next slide here. Okay, Big Bang Theory. The main character, Sheldon, his mom is this Christian woman. Of course, Sheldon is an atheist. His mom is a Christian. She's always trying to get him to, you know, believe in God. But it turns out she is a hypocrite because she is not living a Christian life. So you have this show. People are watching. They're laughing. And it's funny. There's lots of funny things. But you know, guys, there's an undercurrent of mocking to God. And I want to ask you guys, are we sometimes sitting in the seat of the scornful as we watch these things? Let's go to the next slide here. We look at this, and this is kind of an interesting thing. We see, for instance, the of the large top-grossing films from 2007 to 2014, predominantly just white people. We see black people are there, the second bar, and then Asian, Hispanic, and other. That doesn't represent our society. We're a much more diverse society, and we have these films, predominantly the white people, giving us a message that's anti-God. And I have nothing against white people, but why is it not reflective of our culture? We are more diverse than this, but this is what the movies were paying for, and this is the message that we're hearing. It's not reflective of even this congregation. So why are we following the advice? Why are we standing in the way of sinners? Why are we sitting in the seat of the scornful that scorn God and his ways? God wants us to stop giving our ear and our eyes to these things. Let's go to the next slide here. So many episodes scoff at biblical doctrines and commands for a laugh. It's a joke. Are we to listen to their ideas and follow their ways? Are we to laugh at their humor and give credence to their philosophies? We can if we want to, but will it help or hinder our relationship with God? And that's what I'd like to ask. Does this help me to become a stronger disciple of Jesus? And if not, then we may have to make some decisions about the shows that we watch and maybe turning off some and saying, God, I'm not going to watch that anymore. That is against my faith as a Christian. Amen? So go to the next slide there. Let's go to the next slide. next one there. So there we see there's a progression. If you walk in the counsel of the wicked, if you start giving your ear to wicked counsel, then you will stand in the path of sinners. If you stand in the path of sinners for a long time, you're eventually going to start sitting in the seat of scoffers, mocking God and his ways. There's a progression from bad to worse in the Bible. That's why we got to stop it at the beginning. We've got to get our mind on God's word and off those other influences. Amen? So that's why God has put on my heart is is to answer the scoffers and to show the evidence. This is the evidence from the New Testament. I've come up with Google Earth slides and all that stuff to show that the Bible is real. This is 100 sites from the New Testament that have been documented, verified by archaeology. Many of them verified. Some are not as verified, but definitely it's something for the skeptics. God has put in my heart, we need to equip young people today to have an answer to the skeptics and the critics and the scoffers of God. Amen? We need to equip them. And it's out there. They just need to know that it's there. Amen. Let's go to the next one here. God says we are not to love the world. The Bible says, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he or she who does the will of God abides forever. Amen? We can either set our eyes on the temporary or the eternal. Temporary or eternal? Do you want to set your eyes on the things that are eternal? Amen. God and his kingdom and people. The Bible says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Okay, so let's go on to the next thing here. What do we need to do? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Our delight needs to be in God's law. I would like you to take 30 seconds right now, talk to someone next to you about your favorite food right now. Go talk to someone right now next to you about your favorite food. What's your favorite food? Okay. Okay. Okay, stop. I want you now to talk to someone next to you about your favorite Bible verse or passage. Go. Okay, stop. What was the difference in those two things? I notice sometimes we just get so excited about our food. And we're talking about our favorite Bible verse, and we're like, right? There's a difference, okay? Now, I know, it's a challenge sometimes. Guys, God wants us to get excited about God's word. So when we're talking about our favorite food, is just as exciting or more exciting would be talking about God's word. Amen? Now, if you could get a dollar for every chapter of the Bible you read, would you read it more? Okay. Now, I mean, that's a challenging question. Now, I heard someone say to me once, would you do something more for the love of money that you can't do for the love of God? I'm like, ouch. Hurts. I'm telling you guys, God wants us to delight God's word. Amen? Delight in God's word. Amen. Let's go to the next one here. And in his law, he meditates day and night. The Hebrew word is haggah, which means to think deeply about something and even to speak it under your breath or aloud. It's an active meditation, it's not passive. And it's also used when a lion growls over prey. That's pretty cool. So when a lion is growling over prey, the same word, haggah, is used for meditate. I wonder, I just maybe think, if we meditate, if it's powerful against the enemy. When we're meditating God's word, it's like a lion. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. I want to tell you guys are lions in Christ. You're mighty lions. And when you meditate on God's word, it's a roar. Amen? It's powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the next one here. We're not talking about this kind of meditation. Mm-mm. This kind of meditation, this is a Hindu practice. This goes back to yoga and the chakras and the snake going up the spine, all that stuff. This is not Christian. And I'm going to warn you, if you're into this, don't do it. there's a better way. And here's the better way right here. This is what it is. Christian meditation, actively on God's word, opening the word of God in front of you, taking some time and listening to what God is saying in his word. So I'm going to show you how to meditate. Very briefly, I've given you, handed out the handout there. If you can just look at the back of your handout, there are four steps. So just right at the back, just opposite the scripture, Psalm 1. So step one, you read it through three times. The first step is read it once. So I'd suggest if you want to do Psalm 23, read through Psalm 23 once. And then I want you to ask yourself, what is one word or phrase that jumps out at you? Say if you're going to do Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, lie down in green pastures. That jumped out at me. And think about it. Think about you're lying down in green pastures. Okay? Step two, read it again. Enter into the scripture passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. What do you feel? Well, I feel the breeze. I feel like the warmth of just being in green pastures with God. Right? So you see how it feels, how it feels. The third reading, what is God saying to you? You read through Psalm 23 the third time. God, what are you saying to me through this psalm? And you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Amen? It's not a passive meditation where you're in a lotus position looking at a candle and meditating on nothing, or you're breathing. It's where you're thinking about God's word. You're getting God's word into your heart. You're reading it three times. You're letting it permeate and hearing what God is saying to you. This is the kind of meditation God wants us to do on his word. Amen? And then step four is write down what God's saying to you, share it with someone, or rest quietly in God. Amen. Let's go to the next passage. So God's people, they meditate on God's word day and night. The Bible says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Do you want to be a tree? Solid. I don't mean really a tree, but solid. Your branches spreading out, giving shelter for animals. Strong. Amen. I want to be a tree. I want to be like a tree planted by streams of living water, bringing forth the fruit. Okay, next slide here. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Beautiful video. Thank you, Lily, that you guys put together. Again, showing beautiful leaves, green all the time, not withering. I'd rather be a tree. Let's go to the next one here. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The picture that we see in Psalm 1 is of threshing the grain. So as you harvest the wheat, what they did was they beat the wheat. They beat it. Okay, and I want to say this, the godly and the ungodly sometimes get a beating in life. The same beating happens to the godly and the ungodly, the threshing. Okay, so I want to tell you right now, sometimes you think, okay, why am I'm following Jesus, why is it so hard for me? Well, I'm telling you, God's word has not kept you sometimes from going through the ringer. Sometimes God's people go through horrible times. The good news is, though, God is there, and he's winnowing. So he threshes us, but then he winnows us. And what that is, they throw the wheat in the air, and the seed coat and everything that didn't belong to the grain would just fly away. The Bible says the wicked are like chaff, which the wind drives away. They're temporary. They don't stay around. They just fly away. They're worthless, unfortunately. So God will, as we can see here, this is a woman in India. I actually, when I went to India, I would see this. I would see piles of grain in the villages where they would take the wheat and they would lift it up and let it fall down, and all the chaff would just blow away. So to the right you see the chaff, and to the left you see the wheat. This is the picture that God gives, that God is threshing and winnowing us, separating the godly from the ungodly. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So we see here the wheat and the chaff. We know Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff. Amen. Let's do the last, almost the last slide. John the Baptist said of Jesus, he is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's only two paths, guys. The path of the wheat of the true believer and the path of the chaff. The righteous and the ungodly. To God, there's only, and needs to be to us, there's only two paths. So let's go to the next slide here. Which side will you take? So maybe you can write down in your handout I've given you, if you have a pen. Don't follow the advice of ungodly sources. Okay. Number two, don't follow the temporary way of sinners. The ungodly. So number one, ungodly. Okay. I think my time is up. Okay. So guys, I have the answers here. So don't follow the temporary way of sinners. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And mock the righteous, the commands of God and of word over himself. Number four, instead, next slide. Instead, become righteous in God's eyes through faith in Jesus Christ. Then delight in God's word. Meditate on God's word day and night. And you'll become like a tree. The righteous are also like wheat, and the wicked like chaff that the wind blows away. Amen. So I'd like you to maybe go two more slides ahead to the last slide here. One more slide. So guys, I want to challenge you guys. Let's do this screen time less and less, and God's word more and more. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Psalm 1. We thank you that it gives us the challenge to say no to certain things, to say no to the ungodly influences standing in the path of sinners or the seat of the scornful. And Lord, to make time for your word, to meditate on it day and night. And your promise is that we will be like trees, strong and fruitful, and be like wheat, and not like the chaff that is blown away. So Lord, we pray your blessing on us and that we would live as your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.